Speak, O Lord. May you speak through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be largely preaching through the book of Philippians, but it's worth making some notes about this gospel reading. Since we've been working through the book of Mark, we heard that Jesus was come proclaiming the good news, that the kingdom of God was near, encouraging people, calling people to repent and believe the good news. Jesus was going around healing paralytics, lepers, people with shriveled hands. He was teaching with power. He was healing people who had evil spirits. And this caused people to not like some of the things that Jesus was doing. In fact, he even called Levi, who was a tax collector, who was someone who was so far outside who would be considered in. So the lepers and the tax collectors and those who were normally seen as sinful, i.e. people who were sick, Jesus was bringing in to the kingdom of God. He even had the boldness to say to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then the last few weeks in the Gospels, we've heard multiple people take issue at Jesus and not like what he was teaching. One that he said that he could forgive sins, another that his disciples weren't fasting, another that his disciples weren't keeping the Sabbath. And yet, the crowd still followed him because he taught with authority. He showed the power of God through his miracles. And even actually here, in this story today, when his family turned up, they too were saying, "He's out of his mind." This story that it's in the Gospels shows that they were not making this stuff up. Because if you were going to tell a rose-colored glasses story, you wouldn't say, even his family thought that he was out of his mind, or possessed by a demon, some were saying. You wouldn't put that in the story if you were trying to build someone up, would you? No. So this is one of the accounts which you can be really sure, actually, that this happened. Because you would take it out if it didn't happen. But the Gospels were keen to show what Jesus did, and they didn't sugarcoat it. But at the end of the gospel there, Jesus really kept setting his compass on who are the part of my family. Not that he would actually, if you really asked him at another time, "Is that your mother?" "Yeah, it is. And yeah, they're my brothers and sisters." But his point was that those people who are following God the Father, that they are my family, that they are in with what I am doing. They are on the new humanity that is being formed in the restoration through Jesus. Not without conflict, the kingdom of God coming, but Jesus focused his mind. He wouldn't even let his family distract him from the things that his Father in heaven called him to. The book of Philippians, today we're looking as well at some prayers of Paul. Last week I covered one of the prayers from Ephesians. Next week David Farley is going to do another Ephesians prayer from Paul from Ephesians chapter 3. But today I'm going to be looking at the one from chapter 1. Really have been enjoying actually looking at Paul's prayers. They're quite powerful and it gives you a glimpse of his heart. Jeannie, wondering if you could go back to the Philippians reading, and just as I go through the passage, just have it on the screen for us. Thanks. Now, as I read through this, Paul thanking God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy for all of you. It makes it out like Paul's just this praying machine, right? But he's using real exaggeration to make a point, actually, that I pray for you. I really do pray for you. He didn't actually have a bit of time on his hands because he was in jail. So it wasn't like he was off doing all sorts of other things, but he had plenty of time to thank God and to pray and to do so with joy when he remembered the Philippians. Much like he did when he talks about the Ephesians. So he can't pray at all time for the Philippians and pray at all time for the Ephesians, can he? But the point is that he's praying a lot, and they're often on his heart. And when they are on his heart, when he remembers them, he thanks God. And he wants to remind them that he is praying for them all the time. But he prays with joy, and Paul tells us why he prays with joy, because of their partnership in the gospel. They're not just received the word and done nothing. No, they've received this news, this good news about Jesus that we're hearing about in the Gospel of Mark on an ongoing basis, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who came to restore humanity to God. That the Philippians have not just heard this message and said, oh yeah, that's good, but they're partnering in that message. That brings joy to Paul. If you want to get on my good side, tell me a week later, oh Trev, I love what you preached on last week, that you said this, this, and this. Right? It makes me smile. When I'm like, yes, yes. Because what it means is you haven't just heard it, but it's got in. The message has got in. And you're more likely to do something about it because it's stuck. Does that make sense? Paul has joy here for the Philippians because they haven't just heard the word, but they're actually partnering in the gospel. Probably they're generating some sort of funds and sending people out, and themselves, that's not how you say things, but they are also sharing the gospel that Paul shared with them. And that means that they've got it. They're partnering in the gospel from the first day until now. And so Paul can say to them that he is confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Because they've got this gospel and they're partnering in it, they're taking this serious, it's transformed their lives. Paul is confident that what God has started in them, that good work, it will keep on going until the day of Christ. That's really good news. So, it's good news on two levels. One, that the partnership that they're working in with Paul to promote the gospel, that that's going to keep on going until the day Jesus returns. But the other good news is that the good work that he's begun in the individual Philippians will keep going to the day of Christ. That's good news for you and me, because we're not perfect yet, are we? Well, anyone? No, we're not perfect. And so the forgiveness that we've received in Jesus and the beginning of us being restored and renewed and remade, that is going to continue until Jesus returns. And it's a good work that God is doing in us. I pray that we will keep on praying that God will keep that good work going in us, that we're not sitting on our hands as disciples of Jesus. Because until Jesus returns or he takes you, it's important that we keep on asking him to continue that good work in us. That's what Paul wanted for them and wanted to assure the Philippians that God was going to do. And so, with expectation, let's expect that God is going to keep doing good work in us. Let me pray for us just on that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have already been doing a good work in us for those who are in you. And we pray that that good work will keep going. We look for the day when more and more of those rough edges, those broken edges in us are chipped off, and we look that little bit more like Jesus. Keep on doing, we pray, your renewing work deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, verse 7, says, it's right for me to feel this way about you, i.e. having joy, since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. So he's got joy because they've got it, and the Philippians are sharing in God's grace. Paul finishes this introduction to the prayer in verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. The more I'm a parent, the longer I've been a parent, the more you want your kids to succeed. I loved them instantly when they were born, right? My world changed when Josiah was born because I didn't realize I could love so much. Now, and each of the other kids added to that love, but I didn't realize I could. And Paul's wanting to hear, say, God can testify the affection I have. And why I'm talking about my kids here is, when you have affection for someone, you want what's best for them, don't you? You want what's best for them, whether it's good or bad. Like sometimes you know that they need to be pruned in order to get what is good, but you want what is good for them. And Paul is asking God to be his witness here, to tell these Philippians, I want what's best for you. What wants best for you. And this is the prayer that Paul has. What's best for you, perhaps. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Now, to the Ephesians, Paul prayed that for them. He kept asking the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. That's what he prayed for the Ephesians. Spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. But here he prays that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. In some of our relationships, we have a burst of getting to know people, and then we sit on our laurels often. And one of the reasons couples often fall out of love is they stop paying attention to the details of each other's lives, or the things that the other person loves. When they're courting, they're finding out all sorts of things about each other. And then later on, when you get on with your life and kids and all sorts of other things, and you get distracted from each other, and often at the end of people's retirement or when the kids are gone, they go see the other person and say, who are you? Because the details have been lost through urgency or the tyranny of just having so much other things to do. I pray that that's not part of our relationship with God. Or if it is that we go, oh, hang on, I need to stop and get back into the details of who God is, to know Him more, to have more depth of insight of God, to be sitting down with Him each day in prayer and asking Him to reveal Himself more and more. That our love may abound more and more for God, and we'll know Him more, so more knowledge, and also depth of insight, that we'll understand Him, we will get Him that little bit more. Now you might think, well, if I spend all that time, all the time with God, I'll know Him in no time. Well, that's just not anywhere near true. God is one whom we will never fully comprehend or understand. That doesn't mean we can't know Him, but we'll never know all of Him. He'll always be able to surprise us and wow us and capture our imagination. And that's what Paul is praying for, that their love may continue to grow, know Him more, and have greater insight. And that leads to something in Paul's mind. As they know God more, love Him more, have greater depth of insight, they will be able then to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Have you ever wanted to know what to do next? I just wish I knew what to do. Well, Paul feels that knowing God more, having greater depth of insight and love of Him, will help us to be able to discern what is best. Not what is okay or what is permissible. There's lots of things in life that are okay and permissible. But to find what is best is a great thing for us to pursue. And as we pursue what is best, Paul assumes that we would be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. I don't think he's suggesting that we'd be perfect, but our goal will be pureness and holiness, being holy because He is holy, becoming more like God our Father, like that first picture I showed you at the start of the service. Aiming to be like Him. Verse 11 gives us a real hint as to what some of those things will look like. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And Paul in Galatians tells us what the fruit of righteousness is, the fruit of the Spirit. I can remember these verses, but I remember it better when I sing it. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey! Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's one of the kids' songs that we have, and we've got that at our family service today, that song. That is what Paul is praying that his people will be filled with. Things that are right. What righteousness is really, the things that are right and holy and good. Things that you don't need a law against because you can do it and you won't hurt anybody. And that's what it looks like to be pure and blameless as well. And that's what it looks like as well to discern what is best. It's those sorts of things. But I think it's really important that Paul started with this prayer to say, my prayer is that your love will grow. Because if you do those things, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because you should, it won't get you that far. It'll probably leave you puffed up thinking, aren't I good? But as your love for Christ abounds, and and the fruit of the Spirit grows out of you, these fruits of righteousness will be a gift back to God and not something we would use to say, God, you owe me because I've been good. At the end of this prayer, Paul says that it's to the glory and praise of God that this fruit of righteousness filled life is for. So I'm going to finish now and I'm going to pray this prayer again. And this is my prayer. It's my prayer for all of us to be included. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.